turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And we are going to read verse 5 and 6 from that passage. And then we are going to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 5. And we'll read verses 21 to 24 there. Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. This is the word of the Lord. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 5, starting in verse 21, which gives us the background for the passage we just read about Enoch. Verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we come thanking you, Lord, again for your word, asking you, Lord, to use your word and your spirit to work in our hearts. Lord, help us not to think we don't need this. We have heard this. What else can we hear about it? Lord, plow up any fallow ground in our hearts. Plant your word. Cause it to grow and produce fruit, which only you can do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Enoch is probably more widely known for his disappearance than for the reason he disappeared. Even if you were to ask people in the world if they knew of Enoch in the Bible, they might say, oh yeah, he's that guy that never died. And if you ask people in the church, they might respond in the same way. And while that's important because God's word declares it, what's even more important is the reason for which he disappeared. The reason for which God took him. And the important thing about Enoch is the most important thing about you. Enoch walked with God. So the question that comes to us this morning is, are you walking with God by faith? That is the great qualifier here. The Spirit of God is giving us an example of a man who found favor with God because of his faith. And God rewarded him because of that faith. Enoch is introduced to us here in Genesis chapter 5 in these genealogies of mankind. In these genealogies, there is this common phrase that is meant to be a reminder to us. And let's turn back there to Genesis chapter 5, and we'll just read one of these examples of that phrase. And it is a reminder to us what is still upon mankind. If we look back at verse 20, Enoch's father. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. That's the phrase I'm talking about. From Adam to Noah, there were 10 generations spoken of here in Genesis. And in each one of these generations, there are the words, this man did this, this man had these many children, and this man lived this long, and this man died. The Scripture through the Holy Spirit here is setting us up for an exception, because Enoch did not die. He was the eighth. He was in the eighth generation, seventh from Adam. And we are introduced here to a man who did not die. Here in the Old Testament, we are told he lived 365 years, married, having children. In the New Testament, in the book of Jude, in verses 14 and 15, we are told a little bit more about Enoch. He was a prophet, declaring God's judgment against those who opposed God. Here was a man raising a family in the midst of great wickedness, prophesying against ungodliness and walking with God. That's what the Scripture tells us there in Genesis chapter 5. And that phrase, Enoch walked with God, is brought back to us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, in the words of pleasing God. Look at your Bibles and look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. Before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. These words, walked with God and pleased God, are being used with one another. In Genesis chapter 5, if we were to go back there, you would see there is no mention of Enoch's faith pleasing God. Just that he walked with God and was taken by God without dying. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, the Spirit uses the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, and where it is talking about pleasing God, that's where the Greek translators of the Old Testament, they put those words there where the Hebrew said, walked with God. And so now the Spirit of God is using that here in Hebrews chapter 11. Now you might ask, why did those translators do that? Well, the Septuagint translators were known to be so focused on God's otherness than humanity that no expression could really be used to compare God to something that humans do. For example, like walking. God does not have body parts. He does not have legs. And so therefore, how could he walk? And so they translate walked with God to be pleasing to God. And so the Holy Spirit here picks that up and draws that conclusion for us and draws us into the conclusion that to walk with God is to be pleasing to God. But the big thing is that the Holy Spirit draws us to this morning is that you can do neither. You can neither walk with God nor can you please Him without faith. In Colossians 1:9, Paul prayed that they would walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. And by faith, Enoch walked with God, pleasing Him, for without faith, he could not have done it. That's what the Scripture is telling us here. And that's what the Scripture is reminding us. And we need this reminder. Because we often think that we can walk with God and we can please God by simply just doing things without faith. And the Scripture here says in Hebrews chapter 11, that's impossible. You can't do it. By faith, Enoch walked with God, pleasing Him, because he could do it no other way. It's impossible. Verse 6 is the key to Genesis 5 and Hebrews 11. It's the key for us this morning. It's impossible to please God without faith. Two things I want to mention here about this before we get into the points of the sermon, and that is something that these things could be mixed up with, and that is that faith is being portrayed as some meritorious work on our part. If we use the whole counsel of God, we know that faith we have is not ours. It did not come out of a wellspring of our own really nice hearts, and we decided to believe in God. We know that faith, even faith, comes from the Lord. And so faith is not being presented here as a meritorious work of man. That God will say, oh, you have faith, but you don't. I'm going to reward you and not you. It is not like that. Faith is not a meritorious work. Another thing I want you to note is as it is impossible to please God without faith, we're talking about pleasing God. Why? Because God is displeased with us. God is displeased with man and his wickedness. And so a man comes to God by faith because God is displeased with man and his sin. And he can come no other way. He is incapable of doing anything to please God, to be accepted by God, without faith. Because of being a sinner by nature and his actual sins. And so to come to God as Enoch did and as you must, to come to God and receive his favor, you must come by faith. Here in Hebrews chapter 11 and Genesis 5, they present to us Enoch's faith, which pleased God. And we're going to look at this in 3 points. Enoch pleased God by faith. We see this in verse 5. Secondly, you must please God by faith. You. And thirdly, God rewards those who seek him by faith in verse 6. Let us first look at Enoch as he pleased God by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. And as mentioned earlier, this phrase, pleased God, is what we find in Genesis 5. And so when you think of pleased God, as we're looking at it in Hebrews 11, also think of walked with God. And this tells us what a state of relationship Enoch was in with God. He was in close communion with God. He was a prophet of God, as I mentioned in Jude verses 14 and 15. God had spoken his word to Enoch. God had commissioned him to go to the wicked man and prophesy what God was going to do to them if they do not repent. He, like Moses and others, had a close communion with God. He had God's favor upon him. And so the scriptures say that he walked with God. The scriptures say he pleased God by faith. And we must remember it takes two to walk together. As Enoch walked with God, God was walking with him. In the book of Amos, when God was declaring his judgment against Israel, he said in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, when he was speaking to them about their sins and not walking with him, he said to them, "Can two walk together unless they are agreed?" Enoch was in an agreeable state with God. They were walking together. And so to walk and live by faith is to be in agreement with God in his word, what his word tells us, what his word requires of us, what his word promises us, what his word rewards us as it speaks to us about those promises. Enoch was walking with God in agreement. He was walking by faith, believing God, and had God's pleasure upon him. How did Enoch get to this state of being pleasing to God? Verse 5 tells us by faith Enoch was taken away, translated. Genesis 5 tells us in these words, he was not. Enoch was born. Enoch had children. Enoch lived 365 years, and he was not, for God took him away. Why did God take him? Because God was pleased with him. Why was God pleased with him? Because Enoch came to him not on his own merits, but by faith. And this was God's testimony of Enoch. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, it tells us, "For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." It was God's testimony, and it is God's testimony today that he is pleased with Enoch. And he is pleased with all those who come to him by faith in the means that he has provided for them to come to him. God in his good pleasure removed Enoch from this earth without having to suffer the full curse of death in the body. Because in Enoch's time on earth, he had faith. He walked together with God. And God was pleased to make Enoch's faith become sight. He was pleased to take Enoch off of this earth and bring him to himself. And that faith would then turn to sight. But none of this would have happened, the scripture tells us here in Hebrews chapter 11, if it wasn't because Enoch displayed faith in the Lord. For Enoch was like all men. Enoch was not somebody who was different than you and I. A sinner. Under the curse of death. A sinner. Through the curse of Adam, and a sinner in his actual living. A living sinner. Yet living by faith. He was dead in his sin, just like you and I were. He needed faith to be pleasing to God, just like you and I do. And it is a faith that we don't have in and of ourselves. We know that faith is a gift of God. Ephesians 2:8 tells us, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." This was true of Enoch, and it's true of you and I as well today. And what is also true of Enoch, and what is also true about you and I, is that for those of us who come to God by faith, you too will be taken away. You too will be translated. Maybe not like Enoch was, but some will. Some will be living when the Lord comes back and not suffer that death like some of us will before the Lord comes back. But all of us will be translated. All of us who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will be taken away into God's presence and made new. This was the great hope that Paul speaks about in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 53. He says this, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." You look at the life of Enoch. And God is demonstrating for us the favor that He had on him by translating him before he physically died. But you know, one thing that had to happen to Enoch that's going to happen to you and I who are in Christ is that your corruption will be removed. And you will be made immortal. God took that mortal man, Enoch, and made him immortal. God took that corrupted man, Enoch, and made him incorruptible. And that's what happens to us as well. When we come to God through faith. And faith is one of those words that in our culture and even in our churches has lost its meaning. Oh, what a word to have lost its meaning. Because faith today is not something that you can challenge in any other person. For a person can say, "Well, I have faith." And in our culture today, you are not, culturally speaking, even allowed to say, "Well, what do you mean by that?" It doesn't matter what they mean by that. What it means for them is how they define it. And who that faith in is who they define it to be in. And you cannot challenge it. Because it is theirs and it is sacred. But that's not biblical faith. Biblical faith is the kind of faith that Enoch displayed here. And the Bible speaks of faith clearly. We've already read from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 in weeks past that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And now here in verse 6, we get even more clarity on what true faith is. And that brings us to our second point. you must please God by faith. The implication here is God wants you to please Him. God wants you to come to Him in a pleasing way. God wants you to come to Him by faith. And it could not be stated more emphatically than it is here in verse 6 that there is no other way to come to God except by faith. Again, people in the world, people in church say, well, I will decide then how I come to God by how I decide what faith is. But the Bible doesn't leave that out there in obscurity to say, now you decide how you come to me. You decide how that what that faith is going to look like. Well, the Bible declares what it is. And Enoch was an example of this truth. His translation was a result of his pleasing God by faith. For without faith, you will not see your corrupted body and soul put on incorruption and immortality, which is something you must have to be with God. Without faith, the scripture says here in verse 6, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to come to Him. For he who comes to God must believe. You cannot come to God without faith. The only way dead in sin, guilty men under God's displeasure can come to Him and to please Him is to come by faith. Not by works, not by anything, but faith. And verse 6 tells us clearly, with more evidence, what this coming to God kind of faith is. Listen to what verse 6 tells us. It's impossible to come to God. It's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe, faith, that He is. He who comes to God must believe that He is. Now, often many people abuse this very statement without even knowing it. How often they say things like, well, I believe in God. If we have conversations at the University of Missouri, we likely may hear that. Well, I believe in God, or I believe in a God, and you cannot tell me which God to believe in. I believe in God, but I don't even know Him, or even know if He can be known. Those are responses that you get from people sometimes. And this is not a new thing. Paul confronted the Greeks in Athens, as we read in Acts chapter 17, verse 23, noting that they had on an altar an inscription to the unknown God, in case they missed one amongst their many God altars that they had. In their multi-God society, they wanted to make sure they did not leave any God out who might exist. And that is very similar to our day. Their mindset was, you can't determine who God is. There's so many gods, and we don't want to offend one we don't know, so we put up this altar for him or for her, as they might say. In today's world, your God is whoever you make him or her to be. But true faith is not like that. The faith that the Bible is talking about says here in verse 6, you must believe that he is. And who is the he being referred to here? It is not an unknown God. It's not even an unknowable God, but it is the God of the Bible revealed in Jesus Christ. Who is this God who is? Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 3 tells us this: God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. This is who God is, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God who is eternal, the God whom you must believe in by faith, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the express image of God. And in His person, we see the holiness of God. We see the grace and mercy of God. And so saving faith that the Bible is talking about is not to believe in a God, but to believe in this God. You must believe He is. That is how faith is described here. Some will believe in a first cause. Some will say, well, there had to be something that made all these things. Some will say, I do believe that. A general idea of God. But not one who is very particular, or one who is very involved in our lives, or one who has authority over our life, or one who says, you must come to me in this way and this way alone. And yet that's what the Bible calls us to. We must believe in the God who is. He who is, because other gods, you cannot say they are. There are no other gods. Even in the gods of our minds and hearts that we may create, they don't exist. The ones that are created out of wood and silver and gold, they don't exist. And so the Bible is calling us to believe in the God who does exist, the God who is. And Jesus said, as far as coming to God, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so this is the way of faith. Coming through Jesus Christ is to believe that He is God. That the reason as God He came to this earth was to take away our sins that had been committed against God. And so it is impossible. It is not possible to come to God apart from Jesus Christ. That is the faith we are talking about here. Let me go look and we look back at Enoch now. Enoch had to believe that he was a sinner because the Bible says he came by faith. Enoch had to believe that he was in need of a Savior because the Bible says he was a man who came to God and walked with God and pleased God by faith. And though he did not physically die, he was still translated. He was still taken from life here on earth to life with the Lord. And he still falls under that category of verse 39 in Hebrews chapter 11. And said this, and all these, speaking about Enoch, having obtained a good testimony, the testimony from God that he pleased God through faith, all these did not receive the promise. The promise that Abel and Enoch lived on was the promise that though they were sinners, God would receive them through the one who would crush the head of the serpent, the seed of the woman, the Savior that God would provide. That is how they came to God in faith. It is impossible to come to God without faith. And so Enoch is like you. Enoch is like me in that he recognized he was a sinner. He recognized he needed a Savior. And this is biblical faith. This is how you come to God. And without this way, you cannot please God, nor come to Him, nor will your body see incorruption. Your soul will not put on incorruption. So if you cannot come to God except by faith, then what's the other side of that coin? Then those who do not have faith in Christ will not come to God in this life or the next, but will be put away into an eternal hell, separated from God forever. And this is the contrast that is made in the last part of Hebrews 11, verse 6. For those who diligently seek Him, God will reward. What's the contrast to that? For those who do not diligently seek Him, God will punish. So there is this idea of heaven and hell here. There is this idea of living forever or dying in hell forever. What has happened to Enoch? He was rewarded with God Himself. What he believed by faith here on earth was given to him in heaven. And so will it be for all those who diligently seek him here on earth. And that's what we see in verse 6. God rewards those who seek Him by faith. Verse 6 tells us of this second aspect of believing faith. As we look at it here, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must first believe that He is, and second, that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You are to believe in the promises of God for salvation through Jesus Christ. You are to believe that what He says He will do for those who come to Him by faith, He will do. He will save you from your sin. He will take you to be with Him forever. He will change you from corruption to incorruption. God wants you to believe by faith, though you cannot see it. And though even when you see somebody die on this earth, you cannot see it, that they have gone to be with the Lord. We say about these, those who have gone before us in this life, that they have gone on to their reward. We use that language. For some people it means certainly different things. But it is a true scriptural thing. The Lord says it right here. He will reward those who diligently seek Him. We look back at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 to 18. We are reminded of God's faithfulness in this very regard. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. God says, seek Me by faith. Lay hold of Me by faith. And I will reward you. I will fulfill every promise in Jesus Christ. I will take you, translate you, and they will not be able to find you because you'll be with Me. They could not find Enoch, just like they could not find Elijah, who was also taken. They could not find Enoch. God had rewarded him, and God promises to reward you if you seek Him by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. He will reward you with Himself. Now the world thinks oftentimes, and you've heard these phrases before, and hopefully you won't use them because they are pitiful, but when you hear or see or talk to somebody who's had a relative or somebody die in their life, they often attribute God's reward to some kind of passion that they had in this life. Right? You might hear them say about a farmer that he has passed on to his reward. And then somebody might say, oh yes, he's up in that great wheat field in the sky doing things like he's never done before. Or you might hear somebody who is a great singer who has passed away. And they will say, oh yes, she has passed on to her reward. And now she is singing to the audience of the angels. She has received her reward. I could go on and list all kinds of things. There seems to be a great sports field in the sky where all athletes will go and really get to play their sports to the ultimate success, because that's their reward. Oh, how pitiful. How low of a reward for us to think that that's what God is going to give us. It is nothing. This earth has nothing to compare to the inheritance that we will receive. The reward that God has for those who diligently seek Him by faith is a pardon from all sin. To be in the very presence of God without the nagging of sin, without the nature of sin, and to have it all removed, and to be in His holiness and to be holy with Him. We experience some of that now, but it is not able to be compared to what you will have in glory with the Lord. The Lord will reward those who diligently seek Him by faith. And this is not only a declaration of how we must come to God, but it's also a promise of God here in the latter part of verse 6 for you to be assured of His promises. He cannot lie. It's not possible for Him to lie, just like it's not possible for you to come to Him apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what He has promised, He gives you a taste in this life. But you'll get it all when you have been translated from this life to the next. If you come to Him and seek Him by faith, and to say those who diligently seek Him is another way of saying to come to Him by faith, to come to Him by the means of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. To come to Him by faith and believing in God's Word and His promises that if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, you shall be saved from His wrath. And you shall be translated like Enoch was translated. But it must come by faith. It's impossible otherwise. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7, I want to remind you what those two verses said. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. This is the reward the Lord has for you. Mercy and pardon for your sins, which opens the door for you to be with the Lord forever. Not going to some great athletic field, not going to some great racetrack in the sky, not going to some great audience to sing or to perform before, but to be with the Lord, the God of the universe. This is your inheritance. And the Lord says, I will reward those who diligently seek me by faith alone in Christ alone. And so this passage in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and Genesis chapter 5 is not just to say, this is the way you come. But it is to say that when you come by faith, I will reward you. I will translate you. And you who are mortal will put on immortality. And you who are corrupted by sin will put on incorruption forever. God says, I will reward those who come to me by faith. And so if you're struggling with assurance, and we do, many of us at times, we do struggle with assurance at times. And usually it's because we take our eyes off of the Word of God, off of the Son of God, and off of God Himself, and we look at our sin, and we look at the world, and we look at our performance, and we start living by sight rather than by faith. That's when doubts come in, when pressure comes on, when persecutions come, not only from the world but from the devil. And that's when we must look to the Word of God and to His promises that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him by faith. And if you are seeking Him by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, nail it down. The Lord will reward you. Without doubt, because He cannot lie. Come to God by faith. It's the only way to please Him, and you cannot please Him without it. And this speaks of initial faith in Christ to come to God, but it also speaks to an enduring faith, one that does not quit, because that's what true faith is. Faith is not here today and gone tomorrow. The faith that God gives you is an enduring faith that never gives up hope in Christ. And it is a faith you must have. For just as Enoch by faith was translated and taken away, so shall all those who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ be taken away, translated, made immortal, corruption putting on incorruption. And they could not find Him, and they will not be able to find you if you are in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. For you'll be translated into the very presence of the Lord Himself. He will reward you. Amen. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank You, Lord, for these wonderful and encouraging words. This example of Enoch, who walked with You by faith. Oh Lord, how we need to do that. We know it's impossible for us to walk with You, to please You apart from faith. Lord, strengthen us where we are weak. If there is someone here today, Lord, who has yet to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, Father, that You would work in them and that they would turn to Jesus, believing in Your Word and what You have provided for them through Christ for salvation, that their soul can be freed from sin and its curse. We do pray, Lord, also for those of us who have come to Christ, that we would continue to diligently seek You, to walk with You by faith. Lord, help us to have that desire. It's implied here in Your Word that we are to be desiring to please You, to glorify You in all of our life. And help us, Lord, not to do it without faith, because we can't do it. It's impossible. Lord, You know the needs of these people here who have heard this word today. And according to Your Word and Your Spirit,